Jesus, Savior, pardon me. And the tears of breakers roll.
In the 8th chapter of the book of John and the 17th chapter of the book of John, Jesus, while he was here, met with two classes of people, two different groups of people, we might say, or if we care to, we might classify them as two different churches. It's amazing as we look into these two different chapters that of what we see in the different characteristics of the two types of people that he met there. In the 8th chapter of the book of John, and these are the words of Jesus, he met here with a group of people that had no respect for him, no reverence for him, had no faith in him, had no reverence for him, nor believed not the truth that he told and that he represented. I would like to call to your attention some of the things that these people ask. It amazes you when you see these things in the Word of God and hear these things that people of a religious movement, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and sacred history tells us that they were two of the most outstanding religious orders in the world at the time that Jesus came. He condemned them. People think it a strange thing today to condemn or to criticize or to speak against any religious movement in the world. They say you shouldn't do it, that we're all people of different orders and that we're all going to the same place. I leave it up to you this morning in the message, if God will bless us, to decide for your own individual selves the attitude that the Son of God had toward false worship when he came. They met Jesus out there. He began to teach, tell them of his coming into the world and his purpose for coming. He said, I came not to bear witness of myself, but to bear witness of him that sent me. I came not to give a testimony of myself, but to bear record of him that sent me. I came not to speak the things concerning myself, but what I speak, these are the things that I've heard from my Father. Bear in mind that these people are members of a movement. They're members of a church. It's amazing that people who are on the church ledgers and people who have set themselves up as teachers and leaders of people, and that they know all the answers concerning Christ. They know all the answers concerning the works of God. You can even order a book today that's got 1,000 questions and answers. If you want to know anything, why, you can order a book, they say, and it'll ask the questions and it gives the answers. But my friend, I'm here to tell you this morning, those answers are not the right answers. People who are in the world church today, if Jesus Christ came on the scene and walked down their streets and entered into their place of worship, they wouldn't know him. This is taught here in the 8th chapter of the book of John. When he told them these things, I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. And they said, thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Can you imagine people that are in the movement, that are in the worldly church? You can't call them the church of God. Because if they were in the church of God, they would know the truth. Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus looked at him and he said, I bear not record of myself. I have one that beareth record of me, and that's the Father. The things that I speak unto you and the things that I tell you, these are the things that I have heard with my Father. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And he tells us that, and this is the will of the Father, that all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And they said, where is thy Father? I'm amazed. I know the ignorance and the of the worldly church. They know not. We shall later see how Jesus answered. It is appropriate today, if you meet with somebody that's ignorant in the things of God, why, if you're a member of the worldly church, you're supposed to take upon yourself in time to teach them. They believe that you can teach them. They believe that it's so simple that you could just lay the book in a home and perhaps passing by or just reading its pages, we can come into the knowledge of God. But not so, my friend. They said, where is thy Father? He said, I came down from heaven. My Father is above. Ye are beneath. My ways are above your ways, as high as the heavens is above the earth. They said, who art thou? Here's the church. Here's the church that's decked out in all of its splendor. They're supposed to know all the answers. And when the Son of God walked among them, they knew not him, which signifies that by the worldly knowledge of man, by wisdom, the world knew not God. The world by wisdom knew not God. God is saying in his word that you can't teach every man his brother, know ye the Lord. The word of God says those things. The word of God tells us that we can't teach our brethren to know the Lord. It is also an evident fact that we can't teach our children to know the Lord. They said then, who art thou? Now, if we was a member of that church, oh, we would be thrilled because here is an opportunity to witness for Christ, they would say. Here is an opportunity to tell somebody about the Lord. Here is an opportunity, they would say, to get somebody saved. But what did the Son of God say? He said, I am the same that I have already said unto you that I was. Telling a man about the Lord won't save him. Trying to explain, going into small detail to tell a man, will not commend him to God. And they said then, we have well said of thee, thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil. These things are beyond my comprehension. It's hard to believe or to conceive the idea that people in a church would have the brass to say to the Son of God that thou hast a devil. You've got to know the ignorance and the stupidity of worldly church and worldly religion and organized religion. He said, I've told you these things, and you believe not. Well, he said, I speak the things that I've heard of my Father, and you do the things that your Father doeth. In other words, he knew them. He knew that they had not the love of God in them. He knew that there was no hope for them, that they did not belong to him. That they belonged to the world. They were men of the world. They were men that have their portion in this life.
Yeah.
They were men that are blessed in this time. Then we come to Jesus' answers. He said, they said, "Who art thou? Who art thou?" Why, that church of the world, you know, there's two churches. I want to go on record this morning saying there's two churches in the world. One church belongs to God and the other belongs to the devil. John later said in his writing, he said, "Herein are the children of God and the children of the devil manifested." I don't know if I've ever heard anybody preach that there was two children, two types of children in the world. The devil's got a church and he's got a children and he's got followers, and they're more in number than the followers of God. Jesus said the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of the kingdom.
Yeah.
It's there. Said it. They said, "Who art thou?" Well, I can see that worldly church rising up to tell them who Jesus is. See, they know who Jesus is. They don't all agree who he was. Some merely say he was a good man that passed here. But they said that once on one occasion, and then he turned to those who knew and said, "Whom do ye say that I am?" And they said, "Thou art the Son of God." That should come into the world. "And we believe and are sure that thou art he."
Yeah.
And then he spoke to one of them, to Peter, and said, "Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you." And that's the way you get it.
Yeah.
You can't... The Word of God hath recorded that the world by wisdom knew not God. It matters not how high in education you go. You don't learn him in books. You don't become acquainted with him by the knowledge and the wisdom of man. Who art thou? Well, I'll tell you the words of Jesus. He said, "Ye neither know me nor my Father." You fellows don't know me. You can't know me. It's not given to you to know me. Your eyes have been blinded and your heart has been darkened, that seeing you may not see and hearing you may not hear, that the prophet,
that's right,
that the sayings of the prophet might come to pass. "He hath blinded their eyes and darkened their heart." The Jews said, "We know, we see." And he said, "Because you say you see, that you see, your sin remaineth." He said, "Where I go, you cannot come, and ye shall die in your sins. Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also." You know, they were denying Jesus, but they were saying that they knew the Father and that God was their Father. Well, he said, if God had been your Father, he said, when I came, you would have loved me and you would have believed me. That's right. "Ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you." Now, friend, this is sober thinking and sober preaching and a sobering doctrine. "Ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you." People talk about loving God and hating his doctrine. Well, that's as impossible can be. Some people say, just like the Jew did, "Well, God's my Father. I believe in God, but I don't believe that doctrine of predestination and that doctrine of sovereignty and that doctrine of election. I don't believe that." Well, my friend, listen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Yeah, yeah.
How can ye love God and not love his Word? Because the Word is God, declared John.
That's right.
He came among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You can't love God. And that's what he said. He said, here, you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. You cannot love God and hate his word because the word is God. You can't separate them. No, they said, God is our Father. We're the seed of Abraham. Why, he said, if God were your Father, you would love me. That's a far cry from this evangelistic movements that are in the world today about getting everybody saved, and that it was intended for everybody, and the God of the world, and he loves everybody. Let me say this morning that he loves his own and hates the world. And the word of God tells us, if we love the world, this kind of world that I'm preaching to you about this morning, that the love of God is not in us. Come ye out from among the world, and be ye separated people, and I shall be your God, and you shall be my people. Now, my friend, I'm saying that that's coming out from among the religious movements of the earth. Why do you not understand my speech? They couldn't hear a thing they said. They were against everything that he stood for. They were against everything that he said. And he said, why do you not understand my speech? Well, why couldn't they? Well, he answers that. Even because you cannot hear my words. Brother, let me point out to you this morning that he wasn't trying to get them to see. He wasn't trying to convince them that he was the Son of God. He knew, no matter what he said, they wouldn't believe. Therefore, he offered nothing to these people. You cannot hear my word. My word isn't a part of you. Well, they said, well, we've got God. God is our Father. And they said, he said, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. What's he saying to these people? He's telling these people, ye are not of God. Now, he could do this because he was God. He saw the secret chambers of their hearts and souls. He knew them. He said on another occasion, I have not need that man should testify of man to me. You don't need to tell me about what man is. I know him. Yeah. I'm acquainted with him. Yeah. He should have. He formed him out of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Yeah. And he became a living soul. Yeah. He knows him. He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Now you talk about going out into the world and winning the world and winning millions. You don't win them. I go on record this morning of being against every evangelistic movement in the world. Every one of them. I'm against every one of them. Because they're a mockery and they're an insult to the purpose of God. You don't win, people. You're either appointed to obtain salvation, or you was left out, passed by. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And that people come into this world, his people. They shall die, his people. And while they live here, under whatever circumstances that he has purposed, they shall hold on their way, and they shall continue to be his people.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
He that is of God heareth God's word. How precious that is, and how true that is. Yes, sir. The Apostle Paul was preaching out yonder one day, and to a group of people, and both kinds were there that day. One part of that congregation turned their heels against it and criticized it and would have stoned the man to death had it not have been for the purpose of God. And the other portion of that congregation said, come back on tomorrow and tell us about these things. Preach to us. They had the word abiding in them. And they loved the word of God. And it was a part of them, and they were a part of it. And when they heard that part, why, it built up within them by the grace and the Spirit of God a love and a joy and a receiving of it. Ye say that he is your God, yet ye have not known him. That's a sobering thought this morning. How many people in the world, unknowingly, with no knowledge of what they're talking about or what they're saying that they know God. Why, he's discussed in the realms of religion today. They say if you've if you've been trained in the doctrines and the philosophy of the world, you know all about him. And I say they don't know about him. I say you can't know about him except he's given you the knowledge and the wisdom to talk about him and to know about him. In the ninth chapter of this same book, after Jesus left off talking with this crowd that we've been talking about, and he passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. His disciples asked him, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. God's going to manifest himself here. When he had thus spoken, the word of God tells us, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the man, the eyes of the blind man, with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. That's simple, because this is the works of God. But that very act, that was on the Sabbath day. And the Sadducees and the Pharisees believed that it was more proper and more honorable to keep the Sabbath than it was to do a good toward a man that needed help. This man was blind. He didn't profess to see. He couldn't see, because the word of God says he was blind. Then it stirred up a great turmoil in that city. And they started running to and fro and saying, you know that man that used to sit down yonder by the gate and beg alms? Why, he's seeing. Well, how in the world could that have happened, they said. So they went and brought the man. And he said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received my sight.
Yeah, that's right.
And they said, we don't believe a word of it. We won't have a word of that. We've heard about this man Jesus. We don't believe a word of this. They said, what do you say about this feller that's called Jesus, it's supposed to have this power? And he said, well, he's a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him, and he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they said, is this your son? And they said, that's right, he's our son. And they said, has he been blind from his youth? And they said, that's right, he was born blind. And they said, well, how did this happen to him? Well, they said, well, he's of age, ask him. Let him tell it. Again, they called the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. They're talking about Jesus. They'd already said he had a devil. People are so steeped in religion. until they had rather be cast in their little mold than to believe and turn to God if it were possible. If they had their choice this morning, they talk about free will, I'll tell you, my friend, that they would choose to keep what they've got rather than turn to God if they had that opportunity. But I'm saying they don't have that opportunity unless God grants them. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. But one thing I know, that whereas I was blind and now see, brother, bless God, he could say that this. He could say, you fellows can argue about the man that performed the miracle if you want to, and you can say what you will. But one thing I know, that a man passed by and spat upon the ground and mixed up some clay and put it upon my eyes and told me to go wash, and I went and washed, and I came seeing. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciples, but we are Moses' disciples. Yes, sir. They're going to hold on to it. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. Isn't that amazing? Here's the church. And here's the Son of God. That worldly church. Don't get the make the distinction between the two. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. And here's the marvelous thing now. The man answered and said unto him, why herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now you fellows say that you're the church. You know all the answers. You can tell me all about God. You can tell me all about how to get saved. You know how to interpret all the mysteries of God. But here is a marvelous thing. This man's walked among you, and he's performed a miracle, and you fellows say you don't know a thing about it. Listen to this man that got his sight. We know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. This is the testimony of one of the children of grace.
Yeah.
He don't talk like them. He don't think like them. And neither does he speak like them. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? See, he's got a respect, a love, a reverence. He wants to know this man. This man is a peculiar man. This man has strange powers about him. He can spit upon the ground and make some clay and put it on your eyes and tell you to go wash, and you'll go wash and come see him. I want to know this man, he says. He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, this is the only way you can come into possessions of it. Right here it shows you. Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him.
Yeah.
Now that's just as different from that other group that we've been talking about. Now, here, hurriedly, Jesus was talking to this group. And in the eighth chapter, he was carrying a conversation with these reprobates, these unbelievers. Here in the ninth chapter, he sets forth a revelation and manifests how it's done. No problem for a little child of grace to love. No problem for him to believe.
Right.
When he who comes with a message from God, God hath already performed the work in their soul.
Yeah.
And it sounds good to them. Sounds precious to them. And they take it unto themselves and they love it. Now, show you something else. He was talking to this group. And they was telling them who all they were. And what they were. And how they were. And what they believed. And what they were going to stand on. They had no need for him. They didn't want him. They didn't believe in him. He was a devil. He was a Samaritan. We don't know ye, and we don't want any part of ye. That's what this people was saying. Now we turn to the 17th chapter of the book of St. John, and we hear Jesus talk about a people. Speak of a people. He was talking to a people in the 8th chapter. He showed us in the 9th chapter of the book of John how this great transaction took place and how an individual acted and what he said when it took place in his soul or when it had its effects upon him. And then in the 17th chapter of the book of John, he tells us of a people. And my friend, they're most precious. They don't speak. He speaks for them. They don't have to tell who they are. He knows who they are.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, and thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Mm-hmm. Hear that, my friend. Yeah. This is the secret. He had power to open those eyes that he talked to, those people in the 8th chapter of John. He could have turned their hearts until they would have believed in him and loved him. But it was not the purpose of God. He said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of the Father which hath sent me, that all that he hath given me, I'll raise it up at the last day.
Yeah.
The elect of God. The chosen of God. The family of God. The children of God.
Yeah.
He should give eternal life. He should give eternal life. Not that he might or maybe he will. Or perhaps someone will let him. But that he should.
Yeah.
A positive, distinct purpose when he came into the world. That he should give eternal life to as many, not all, but a fixed number.
Right.
To all that the Father hath given me.
Mm-hmm.
I like to sound that out. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee.
Yeah.
Those other fellas didn't know him. In fact, they didn't want to know him. They thought they knew God, and they confessed that they did, but brother, they didn't. Jesus said, you don't know him. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name to whom? Not to those people in the 8th chapter. No. Unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world.
Yeah.
Those men in the 8th chapter of the book of John that kicked up their heels against him and denied him and blasphemed him and would not receive him and called him vile names, they were not given to Jesus.
No.
I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Just them and them only. Behold, I and the children which God hath given me, in the midst of the church will I sing praises unto thee.
Amen.
I will declare thy name unto the brethren. Brother, that's all you can tell it to. And I'm not trying to tell it to anybody else. If they're not sisters and brethren in the church of God, they hear not the message of God.
That's right.
I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. It became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons unto glory. Not all of Adam's race, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. No more precious words were ever spoken than these words. Jesus said, they belong to you. They were yours before I came into the world to become their lamb, their sacrificial sacrifice. Before thou formed the world, they belong to thee. Before their dust, their members were fashioned. They belong to God.
Yeah.
And I go on record this morning of saying that when they came into the world, every one of them, when they were born, they belong to God.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Yes, sir. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. God gave the church his elect, his son, to die on the cross to become their sacrifice, to answer in their stead, and to pay the debt. It became him, said the Apostle Paul in the book of Hebrews, and he did a good job. He did a most excellent job. Listen to this, people. They're not testifying of themselves. They're not even speaking. They have kept thy word. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. That's what Jesus said. Mm-hmm. Jesus told this other group, said, why, my word hath no place in you. And here this other that the Son of God testifies of, he said, they've kept thy word. Their souls, the soil, the ground of their souls was so tilled and so stirred up, so ready for the seed to fall, that when the seed fell, the ground was ready to receive it.
Good ground. Yes,
it fell in good ground.
Good ground. Yep.
It fell in good ground. God prepares the ground before he sows the seed. Them fellers prepared their ground, and they hadn't got rid of all the thorns and the thistles and the rocks, and they just scratched the surface, and the fowls of the air gathered it up, and the sun burned it up. But this is another group of people. He prepared the ground, and he called it good ground. And then when the seed sower came sowing the seed, it said some seed fell in good ground. Yeah. Thank God for that seed fell in good ground. Thank God for the sower. And thank God for him who prepared the ground beforehand.
Yeah.
They have kept thy word. No problems. It's just as natural for them to keep his word and to love it and to respect it and to reverence it as it is for us to eat when we're hungry.
They're born to that end.
Yes, sir. They was born to that end. Sang unto me, song of his amazing grace. Tell me about the story of redeeming love. Their souls are anxious to hear it, and then when they hear that music and when they hear that tune sung, they know it. They have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. This other group didn't know anything. They said, who art thou? This group that Jesus speaks of said, they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. They aren't questioning it. They aren't saying, who is your father? Where did you come from? No. Jesus, the Son of God, in the unity, being the head of the church, of this church of God that I speak to you, and they being the members built up into a holy temple to glorify and to praise God and to honor God. He speaks for them. They have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. I told them, and they have received them. This other group wouldn't. These did. And have known surely that I came out from thee. No questions asked. And they have believed that thou didst send me. The other group said, well, what are you doing here? We don't need you. We got everything in hand. We don't need you. That's what the world's saying today. We don't need God. You seldom ever hear his name mentioned. I saw a great a monument erected today, this morning, on television. A big silver ring. And whose name you think it had in it? Oral Roberts's. And my spirit died within me because I was envious of it. The feeling of my soul was that it should be the name of our God. Jesus said, when I'm lifted up, didn't say anything about lifting up some man, but when I'm lifted up, I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. All this praying going on today, all this evangelistic movement, and all these prayers, praying for everybody, Lord, save the world. You're wasting your time, my friend. You ought to study your prayer life, know what to pray for. Jesus said, I don't pray for them fellows, and we spoke about in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. What's the need to pray for them fellows? They're not going to have it. Why, if somebody came back from the dead and talked to them fellows, they wouldn't have it. The Word of God tells us, Father Abraham in yonder's world conversed with a man that went down yonder in the dark pits of hell, and they had a conversation. He said, send Lazarus back yonder to warm my brothers. And he said, he's got the ordained purpose of God back there for people to hear with. Then he said, why, if one rose from the dead, why, they'd hear him. He said, yea, though one raised from the dead, the only way that people hear is by the ordained way that God ordained and purposed. And that's to whomsoever it's pleased him to open their ears and their eyes, giving them hearing ears and seeing eyes and a heart to understand. That's the only people that hear. And those people are chosen of God. I pray not for the world. I pray for them which thou hast given me out of the world. For thine they were, and thou hast given them me. And they've known surely that I came out from thee. They are knowing people. They are believing people. They are receiving people. Because that's the order. And now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Mystery. They're not of the world. We're not any more of the world, and Jesus was of the world. We live here, but our citizenship is on high.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. We're citizens of two countries. One, so to speak, in this carnal world that we live in, the only reason that we live here is because God purposed for us to pass this way. But we look, and our citizenship is in the heavens, from whenceforth we look and wait for the returning of the Son of God.
That's right.
I've preached unto you this morning concerning two churches. One church of the harlots and the church of God. And they're distinct in the Word of God. In the 8th, 9th, and the 17th chapter of the book of John, they're very distinct. The characteristics of the members of these churches are different as day and night. Jesus, the Son of God, the precious Redeemer of His people, talked with them, offered them no solutions, offered them no ointment, nor no balm for their wound, invited them not, no invitations to that group, not a one. That's right, not a one. He hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. John said, in this is manifested the children of God and the children of the devil. I've been going to church for, 35, 40 years, and I've had my first preacher yet to get up and preach on this message. In this is manifested the children of God and the children of the devil. It's the same interpretation as the tares and the wheat. Tares and the wheat. Who's done this? When he had sowed the wheat and the tares sprang up among them, he said, who hath done this? And Jesus said, this is the evil one. These are the children of the kingdom, the wheat, and the tares are the children of the wicked one. That's right, my friend. There is a distinction. It's an evident fact that the Word of God teaches that there's two churches in the world, and there's two worlds. There's a world of the ungodly, and there's a world of the righteous. There's a world of the non-elect, and there's a world of the elect. And we must be able, by the revelation and the power and the Spirit of God, is to be able to rightly divide and know. The Word of God said, God so loved the world. And He wasn't talking about that ungodly world out there this morning. He is talking about the world of His elect or righteous. God so loved them that He gave His only begotten Son, because when His name was proclaimed and announced that He was coming to the world, the angel of God said, His name shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. May God bless you.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but me.
most holy, righteous, and eternal, and almighty God, our Heavenly Father, our Creator, our Lord, and our God. Let us, Holy Father, give thanks unto Thee for this another day, Holy Father, that in Thy wisdom and plan and purpose and mercy, let us live to see the life of another day. Being blessed, Holy Father, to come again to Thine house and assemble with Thy children. Being blessed, Holy Father, once again to hear another message of the sovereign grace of our eternal God. Of Thee, O God, that chose Thy people and Thy Son, Jesus Christ, before the world was.
Amen.
O Holy God that loved Him with an everlasting love. With a love, Holy Father, that had no beginning. Because Thou had no beginning.
Amen.
With a love, Holy Father, that's endless. Because Thy ears shall not fail Thee. Neither will Thy love, Holy Father, fail Thy people. No, Holy Father, we thank Thee, Holy Father, for the privilege, Holy Father, of hearing time, of hearing, Holy Father, the prayer of Thy Son, while He was yet upon the earth, to praying for the children.
Amen.
Yeah. Declaring unto Thee, O God, that they were Thine. Thou gave them to Him, and He laid down His life for them.
Amen.
So Thou, Holy Father, secured them all in Thy Son, Jesus Christ. And then declared of old to the record of God, saying unto Thy children, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?
Yeah.
It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, is now the day, sitting on the right hand of the Father, and great and eternal and almighty God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, let Thy people, O God, this day give thanks unto Thee, Holy Father. O God, for Thy everlasting love. O God, for Thy mighty hand, Holy Father, that Thou stretchest forth to Thy children in mercy, and none is able, Holy Father, to turn it back. O mighty God, Holy Father, let us give thanks unto Thee today. Let Thy children praise Thee, O God.
Amen.
Holy Father, while they dwell here upon Thy footstool, beholding Thy good, Holy Father, beholding Thy pleasant places, Holy Father, that Thou dost set them in. Beholding the good things of God, Holy Father, beholding Thy love upon Thy children.
Amen.
Holy Father, we beg.